flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Indeed we are. In the happy hour, 5:01 on the clock, Tony Gwynn Jr. and the lonely guy, Matt Scraby.
We're still doing that.
We might as well, man. I think that's we can make that stick a little bit.
I'm not lonely, though.
You are.
That's the problem.
You
it's
are.
Like, I'm not
Scraby,
lonely.
You just do a good job of hiding it.
No, I tell everybody all the time, I'm fine. I'm
no,
good.
I know you're fine. I
I'm
know
good.
You're good. But it doesn't mean you're not lonely.
I can't say that I am, so... I'll give you this.
I can say that you are.
I'll give you this. I am a little lonely when I don't get invited to my friends' stuff because it's couples and kids.
Wait, first of all, is it friends, people? They outcast you because...
No, they invite
you
me,
not to go
I choose not to go because I know how it goes. I know how it...
How does it go?
It usually ends up with everybody talking about their kids in school and teachers.
What's wrong
and
with that? These are your friends.
I don't have any... I stand there and I talk with them, but I have no input on that.
You don't need to. You're there.
I don't know any of the teachers.
You're there to celebrate whatever the party's about.
Yeah.
And then if they happen to talk about their family and their kids, it's... But that doesn't mean that you can't go.
It doesn't mean. You're right.
You just don't want to deal with that. I wonder why. Does it bother you that they talk about their families?
No,
you don't have one to talk about?
No.
Why wouldn't you go?
Because I don't want to be the weird single guy in a group of parents and married people.
You're their friend. I don't think you're weird.
Dan says
that's why
Scraby,
they invited you.
Scraby's not lonely because he has Lucky. This is true.
You do got Lucky.
My dog.
Yes. No, I know you're talking about
for, well, there's people just tuned in for the first time, so they
may not know that.
Yeah, and by the way, you can watch us on YouTube if you would like. Nancy just hit the YouTube chat and said that she came over to YouTube for the first time, saw everything. She loves it. She's staying now, so you could see us do
Thank
our
you, Nancy.
Thing. And I'm not trying to get away from the lonely thing.
You are, but it's cool. I'll change the subject. I don't want to keep you.
We're fine.
I don't want to keep
just
you
don't
there,
bring buddy. Sam Levitt into it again.
Sam has some good insight, man. This is
he does.
It's a fellow single bachelor,
yes.
Like yourself.
Yeah, Sam does have some good insight
you
as
know,
well.
So, I mean, maybe you don't like to really work outside your comfort parameters, but
true.
It might be time to do so, buddy.
I think I'm going to stay right here.
Of course you are. In the one of the marquee matchups in the NBA, Knicks lead the 76ers right now by 13, about 3 minutes left to go in the first half. Let's recap some of the stories from earlier today. Padres had a minor league signing. J.B. Wendelken, former Diamondback returning from Japan, where he had some success, had a 1.67 earned run average. He signs a minor league deal with the Padres, and they add a little depth. Sounds like we, even though we knew Ha-Sung Kim was not going to be ready for open today, it sounds like that has been confirmed. You know, never, you never know. Might have good rehab, get back quicker. That won't be the case for Ha-Sung Kim, as he's still a free agent, as is, you know, Jerickson Profar, as is Tanner Scott, still
Alex
a free agent.
Bregman.
Alex Bregman, although I did see he was in talks. Oh, who did I see that?
Let me pull Pete Alonso as well. I guess the Mets are still trying to get Pete Alonso, but they're not coming to any agreements. I
oh,
think they want
Cubs.
To get...
Cubs
really?
Discussing a deal
That's
with Bregman.
Interesting.
Short-term deal. You know when you start hearing short-term deal with a Scotty B client?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the market isn't shaping up the way they quite want it.
Is this 2 years in a row? I mean, he did get Juan Soto a $700 million deal.
Not just Juan Soto.
That was easy money.
Corbin Burns, throw him on that. He got about,
That's easy money.
He got Bellinger out of where he's going. He's
okay.
He got a bunch of dudes signed. I mean, there's a couple stragglers that are still out
Big
there.
Big names.
Pete Alonso.
Alex Bregman.
Bregman.
Jerickson.
Jerickson. But he's also signed more than a few shit.
He has. It's been a. It's definitely been a better offseason for him than last year.
His marquee guys have signed. Blake
yes.
Snell. Don't forget about
oh,
him,
Oh, Blake
too.
Snell, yeah.
They've gotten,
how could I ever forget that he's a Dodger now?
they got their big dollars. So, but typically, you get to this time of year and you start... We'll pay closer attention to this. This came according to 670 The Score, that there is some casual, as they called it, conversation about a short-term deal. We'll see how that goes. Obviously, right now, Scrabe, the weight is on Roky.
It is.
Roky is the piece that everybody's waiting on, and I think because of the age, the cheapness is not the word, but...
I call it a salary cheat code.
Salary cheat code. Yeah, he's not that expensive.
No,
in other words,
he's rookie scale.
So you know, this we'll see how this shakes out. Today is the first day it can officially go down. Still no word. This is going to be one of those deals where we're going to be paying attention like after our show goes off.
Oh yeah,
typically. These things either happen early enough for us to talk about or right after the show.
Yes.
It very rarely does it happen in the middle of our show where we can pivot and actually use it.
Yeah, very rarely.
So
I'm hoping that it does come down during our show.
I am as well. Where was I? Oh, Braves. Did you see this story?
I wanted to ask you about
on
this.
Jeff Hoffman. Now, we've seen over the past couple of off seasons, maybe not... There's been some off seasons over the last four or five where somebody has signed. Depending physical is what you always hear.
Mm-hmm.
The physical happens, and then they're no longer signed. Or they don't quite sign. They fly you in first to get the physical. The physical happens, and they go, you know what, I don't think we're going to do this. You got some red flags. First of all, that's got to be a heart-dropping feeling for said free agent. You're going in this physical thinking, oh, this is done deal. I'm about to get this bag. And then the doctor comes out and he's got that kind of like shaking his head look like, man, I don't know what to tell you this, but...
you're going to die in 2 days. No, I'm just kidding.
No, but they probably have to go in there. They talk to the GM and it's like, I'm not comfortable signing off on this.
Yeah, I always find it weird that it's okay for one team, but it's not okay for another team. Like, what does that one team... Are they more willing to take
we
risk
saw
on
that.
Injury?
We saw that with Correa.
Yes, the Giants had to let go of their
Giants,
deal with them.
There was two teams, right? It was the Giants.
I just remember the Giants.
Mets.
Oh, Mets were in it, too.
I think
the
Mets might have been first. One of those teams went first.
But the Giants
were first. Mets were second.
They did cross that line of signing him, and then the physical turned. They didn't want to do it anymore
they
after
both
the physical.
Did. They both did.
Yeah, and then he went to Minnesota. And
Minnesota was the one that lucked out and from that standpoint.
True.
Jeff Hoffman is the new case of this. So apparently the Braves, and there was another team that actually walked away. I think it was the Orioles. Walked away from a deal with Jeff Hoffman. Oh, wait, was Hoffman that signed with the Orioles?
No, he's a Blue Jay now.
Okay, so yeah, the Orioles and the Braves both walked away from deals because they didn't like what they see. Now, I mentioned this the other day. Any major league arm that has an MRI, a shoulder that has an MRI, is going to look crazy compared to a normal shoulder.
Yeah, sure.
There is not a pitcher that doesn't have an ugly photo of a shoulder, and he may not have no symptoms of anything.
Well, here's what he said in a Zoom, I guess it was today. They saw the stuff they saw in MRIs, whatever they saw was what their team docs were saying. Not any bit in line with the way I feel, though. So it's not something that I'm really concerned or worried about. All the flags, physical stuff was a big surprise to me as anybody. If you could check my kind of track record over the past few seasons, I've been as healthy as anyone. It's a non-issue for me. It's just something that they wanted to bring up, and Blue Jays see me for what I am. So I'd rather be in a place like that anyway.
He brings up a great point, and that is, a lot of times there will be what looks to be a terrible MRI, but a lot of times the player is feeling nothing. He's having no pain, no issues, and the hesitation comes from if he starts to feel that.
Yeah.
And obviously when you're signing a new deal, I think at least the team side certainly wants to go in feeling like he's healthy, we don't have any reservations. But as you can see, that will stop a team from, which is why they always say pending physical.
Yeah.
Deal's done, pending physical.
And most of the time, that means deal's done.
Right, right.
There's nothing on the physical.
Occasionally you get a doctor, because remember, these doctors are on the staff. They're paid by the organization. They keep allowing signings to happen that are red flags, and these guys are getting hurt.
He gone.
He gone. They don't got time to be giving up the money and not getting the production to follow it.
Now, do you think some of the doctors are working under directions from the organization to be, like, overly cautious?
For sure.
I didn't know if that was, like, against the rules.
I think sometimes that might be the case. Like, if maybe a team has had some bad luck with signing, yeah, you might get an order. I was like, listen, man, I'm going to need you to play this pretty close to the vest in terms of what you're seeing and how you feel about it. And in others, it might just be the discretion of the doctor. They trust the doctor enough. You know, Dr. Eletrage works, you know, he sees many, but the Dodgers certainly have the market cornered on him.
Yes.
I don't think they need to put any pressure on him. He's well-regarded, well-renowned at this point. He's probably, if he feels something's up, he'll let them know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they'll take his word for it.
Oh, Mr. James Andrews to Neil Eletrage. That's who came first, James Andrews.
There was one before James, too. I'm trying to remember his name.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Jokic.
Jokic?
No, Dr. Jokic.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I've never heard that name. Did you see this player that signed with the A's? 18-year-old Japanese phenom. I guess they signed Shotaro Mori to a $1.5 million deal, which is the largest bonus ever for a Japanese amateur outside of MPB.
That's their international money right there?
That's their international money right there. He hit 45 high school home runs. He has also been clocked as high as 95 miles an hour as a pitcher. So what they're saying is, this could be the next Shohei Ohtani.
I believe when I see it.
I know, I know. There's only one Shohei Ohtani. You got to think, like, how often are we going to see a guy who's able to what Shohei?
Not
going to happen.
And you may not ever see it at the level that you've seen it from Shohei, which may not make it worth it for teams.
Yeah.
You know? I think, you know, the international signings are starting to kick in. You're seeing teams spending that money. Mets, they gave their big guy $5 million.
Yeah.
So they're off the board, you would think. And we already knew that. Sasaki has already kind of made it known who his teams are. But now you're seeing these teams say, all right, let's lock in on the next best guy that we have available. So
I always find it interesting, real quick before we hit the break, when these players who grew up in a totally different country and a totally different time, but they look up to certain guys, and this pitcher, Mori, said that he patterns himself after Jacob DeGrom, which is such a weird choice for me, I guess.
Why? Dude is nasty.
He is nasty, but it just never occurred to me that he would pattern himself off DeGrom, and he loves Ellie De La Cruz. So, who doesn't?
This man likes some athletes, is what it sounds like.
That's right.
All right, let's get to break. More Gwen and Chris on the other side. Here's some traffic.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Gearing up for the big game? We are too. Join us on the Moth Podcast for a special episode dedicated to hilarious true stories about football, family, and growing up.
I loved Franco Harris so much that in 1975, I invited him to my bar mitzvah. And he was so cool that he actually sent me a telegram.
Each week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, and above all, true. Find the Moth Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Perfect. 5:21 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., the lonely guy, Matt Scraby. We are minutes away from Michael Flicks joining us. Talk a little high school basketball. Get you set for the. Oh gosh, you know these cameras, man.
They are something. Sometimes
that's a fine way to say it, my friend.
I wish we could just like attach them to something.
They don't want to attach to anything.
No, they just kind of sit on top of the monitor.
And this thing just spinning around.
If you move it for like 30 seconds, there you go. I'm gonna put you back on. There we are. And now you're upside down too. All right, we're just gonna have to deal with this right now. I'm gonna fix this over
have
here.
Have fun looking out that into that next studio there.
Okay.
Okay, nonetheless.
That's ridiculous.
We're going to talk a little high school basketball with Michael Flicks coming up in the next segment. Meantime, some new developments taking place, one of which is pretty cool, I think. I don't know if you remember, a couple years ago, I think it was the first time it came to the American public's eye. NCAA men's basketball, NCAA women's basketball, field of 64. Or whatever the number is now. I don't think it's 64. I think it's more.
So 68.
There you go. Field of 68. Somehow, I think it was might have been during COVID or right after COVID, but they showed what the men had in their facilities,
yes.
And then they panned over to what the girls had, and it looked like a chair like this. That's pretty much what they had. A couple weights stacked on there.
It was a DoubleTree gym.
It was
like those little like all the cable
now,
weights.
They both had the same dining hall area.
Yes,
like
yes.
Big, because I think they were holding practices in there at some point, right? But in the men's, they had like full on squat racks.
They had
everything.
Chefs.
It had everything you could think of. The women did not.
No.
Well, I think that's all going to change. Beginning in 2025, the 2025 NCAA tournament, that's this year, women's college basketball will receive a financial units, just as the men's teams have for years. Units are multi-million dollar payments the NCAA awards to conferences based on the number of games a given team plays in a March Madness tournament. The unanimous vote by the NCAA membership, 292-0,
what?
Was met with applause in jam-packed ballroom at the Gaylord Opryland Resort Convention Center. I believe that is in Tennessee, Nashville.
Yep. Okay.
It's crazy that they were never a part of this units.
It is crazy. I also think it's kind of sad that the only reason they're making this change is because they got called out by some players.
Absolutely.
They put it on social media. And if this is the good part of social media.
This is the good part of social media.
Because it's the way to get people to listen. And when you're posting your workout room, which is a DoubleTree workout room, and then you're posting the men's workout room, which is like a professional NFL team workout room, and there's a huge disparity there. And there's no one that's going to listen unless you make them listen, which is getting the public to know about it.
Yeah, you know, so there's some unintended consequences, right? I think the showing leads to, in some ways, bullying.
Yeah.
In some ways, that's good. When it's a big place like the NCAA, you don't mind
the
bullying.
They can handle it.
But they can deal with it. The public outcry against the disparity, among many others, between the men's and women's basketball teams began in the wake of the 2021 Kaplan Report. Mm. That report outlined several gender disparity issues that had existed for years in NCAA sports, but became particularly obvious after the 2021 NCAA tournament, which was played in the bubble. The bubble exposed
everything.
A lot of things on a lot of different
everything.
Levels. The NCAA acted quickly to amend some of these differences, bringing the women's tournament to 68 games, like the men's tournament, by adding four playing games and allowing women to use March Madness as branding for the NCAA tournament. Calls for the unit payments got even louder after the NCAA and ESPN signed an eight-year, $920 million deal for 40 championships, including women's basketball. The NCAA said that it valued the women's NCAA tournament as a $60 million per year entity. With that money flowing into the women's tournament, which had often been criticized as a money loser for the NCAA in comparison to the men's tournament, coaches, players, stakeholders called on the NCAA to act quickly. It amended this gender disparity. Now, this happened in 2021. It took them all of 4 years to get their act together. And
so it's quick.
Change it up. Change it up. So
you gotta sue and you gotta expose to get things done these days. Like, I cannot believe, because I didn't know that they couldn't use the March Madness branding.
I didn't know that either. I just assumed that was all part of the same umbrella.
Me too. That's so stupid.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why NCAA is so dumb. They're so dumb. They just don't do anything right. And I sound like Chris right now, but it's true. They don't do anything right.
When is the championship college football game?
I think it's Monday.
It's Monday.
We're off Monday, actually, for Martin Luther King Jr. Day. But I don't know why they took so much time in between. I know that they couldn't play on a Saturday or Sunday because of, or they just played games. But why not like a Wednesday or Thursday this week?
I think because this is first, you got to remember, these kids are already playing four extra games, right? If
true,
you get to the final.
True. True, and they do care about health and safety.
And the first couple ones were relatively quick. It was like back-to-back weeks.
Yes, first two.
I think there was a couple short weeks in there for some of those teams. So I don't mind them taking a little bit of time for – I mean, it's in the same vein as Super Bowl, right? I mean, they get the kind of a
– 2 weeks.
They get the 2 weeks there. This is not quite 2 weeks, but some extra time in there, I think.
Yeah, but I was looking forward to something on Thursday night this week.
Oh,
so.
You're being selfish.
Kid. I'm lonely, remember? I have to look forward to what's on TV.
The lonely guy.
The lonely guy.
That is correct. All right.
If you want to know about the lonely guy, go back to 2 p.m.
Yeah. You can always check it out on the Odyssey app. All right, let's get to break. On the other side, we get ready for high school hoops this weekend, or excuse me, Friday, and see what's happened earlier in this week. More Gwen and Chris on the side with Michael Flicks.
On Thursday's show, has Roki Sasaki signed? If so, where is he? We'll fill you in. Plus, Ronica Stone from The Mojo.
Annie and Elston, weekdays from 10 to 2 on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Hey everyone, Tony Gwynn Jr. here to tell you about my friends at San Diego County Credit Union. It's a new year and SDCCU wants to help you start the year off on the right track with your finances. It's so important that we all take time to review our finances so that we can achieve financial success. And the good news is that SDCCU is here to help you and me with our finances. As part of their commitment to give back to the community, SDCCU is partnering with the County of San Diego in support of Live Well San Diego to bring you free Financial Wellness Wednesdays, where you can learn from local financial experts on the topics that range from banking 101, budgeting, achieving financial freedom, rebuilding after a financial crisis, understanding your credit report, repaying student loans, and much more. Don't miss your chance to take advantage of these free webinars and get your finances in shape for this year. Federally insured by NCUA, to find dates and topics, visit sdccu.com/FWW.
2025, are you ready to rock?
Oh, a little help, Dave?
Dave's Killer Bread is ready to rock your January reset with killer taste, killer nutrition, and a sweepstakes to win three VIP concert prize packs with round-trip airfare, luxury hotel stay, and much more. Text RESET to 73876 and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Visit DavesKillerBread.com/reset for details.
The best savings in San Diego are at the...
Rolling into the last segment of the day. It's Wednesday. For some of y'all, that's hump day. For those who listen to this show, it's the high school basketball preview in the last segment of the day. And joining us, no other than Michael Flicks. At it again. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing well. I can't complain. How are you?
I'm doing well. What you cheering about?
I'm happy I chose the right microphone this time.
Yes, we live and we learn. Well, we shall get into this week. What's happened already this week in terms of high school basketball? Well, actually, we should probably start with Friday last week because we touched base with you Wednesday, so we didn't get what happened on Friday. There were some pretty big matchups, if I recall, looking at some of the banter on IG after you kind of posted our last meeting.
I'm kind of blanking on it. What did we highlight last?
I'm trying to remember. There was a couple.
Yes. Thank you. San Diego High.
Yes,
versus
that's what
Christian
it was.
High. And I spoke about Isaiah Marte from San Diego High. So right after I spoke about him, gave him that shout out. I didn't realize it at the time, but he had just, I think that same night, he went over 1,000 points for his career. And then I was out at the Friday night game against Christian High, and he dropped 40 on them.
Ooh.
Yeah, so
he lived up to the billing, it sounded like.
And I spoke to his coach. He's got a bunch of D2 and D3 interests. He's got one D1 that's kind of on him a little bit right now. So, you know, him going over 1,000 points and hitting 40 is definitely going to help with his recruitment and everything.
All right, let's talk a little bit about some of these teams. You mentioned Isaiah Marte, right? San Diego
mm-hmm.
High.
Mm-hmm.
Madison High School.
Yes.
On a 3-game winning streak here, currently 13-6 mm-hmm. on the season. They play Canton Hill at home on Friday. This is a big matchup.
Yeah, Madison is a team that they're really good, and they have they're right on the cusp of becoming one of the really good teams here. And I think they're going to be one of the really good teams here in San Diego next year. They've got a really really good coach and Coach Mike Stutz, and they've got a bunch of kids on their team that. They all play the right way, and they want to play hard for each other, and they want to play hard for their coach. And they all, the majority of the team is coming back next year. So
of the better teams in the county, there always seems to be a kind of a theme, and you've hit it pretty much every time. You've said they all want to play. Their coaches want them to play the game right.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of like the standard here in San Diego for at least the elite teams.
Yeah, the elite teams, their coaches demand that they play the right way, whether it's Coach Olive at Torrey Pines, whether it's St. Augustine, all the top teams, Coach Allard over at Carlsbad, even at Montgomery, their coach, he lets them play very free on offense because they're a talented bunch and they know how to score and they know how to get their buckets within the offense and then break away from the offense and also still score. But then on the
defensive end,
but even with that freedom that he allows them on offense, there's a lot of discipline that they have to stay within on offense. But then he demands that they absolutely play lockdown defense. So all the best coaches have that.
By the way, Isaiah Marte, 14 of 20. To get, so it was efficient 40 points. That wasn't just, 40 points on 35 shots there. He was efficient.
Yeah, it was one of those performances where when he missed, it was like, oh, dang, he does that? It seemed like everything he put up was going in mid-range, three-pointer. He got to the basket a few times. Very efficient game.
What do you got on Chula Vista High School? The 14-5 right now in the season. This team seems to be kind of trending upwards.
Yeah, they're playing well. They're a team that, how I spoke last week, a team that if I haven't had a chance to see them, I haven't seen them this year, and I didn't see them last year either. But I've been watching them every time I look up. They're not one of the teams that's on like a crazy like 8 or 9 game win streak. But every time you look up, there's not too many losses back to back in the win column. They're always, they seem to be playing hard. I've had a few parents and players reach out to me like, "Go Flicks, show us some love out here in Chula Vista." And I'm meaning to Chula Vista. I'm gonna get to y'all. So
now,
definitely
listen,
wanted to give them a shout
out. This is my good peoples down south. My man Michael Flicks is coming from a long way, so give him a break. He's going to get down to see you at some point, but coming from North County, going all the way down south.
Right.
You got to really...
Talk to him for me.
You're putting in the work, because I live in North County, and I've driven down here before. Right. It's not easy.
You're going to have to really be putting up some numbers to get him out there. But you got on his radar.
Absolutely.
We get to this time of year, we're starting to move into conference play.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any difference to how you approach conference play when you're going to see teams versus you go to preseason when you're trying to get to know these teams a little bit more?
Yeah, so in league play or conference play, they all play. You play everyone in your league twice, and so I try to make sure if there's a rivalry, I try to make sure I get to at least one of those games. Or, you know, towards the end of league, if it's like, oh, both these teams are have one loss, whoever wins is going to win league. I try to make sure I make it to those moments and things like that. Or if I didn't mention already, if there's a rivalry, like I know in my league, it was Sample Squall, and then we had a Valley Center as well. So those type of games within the league, if there's a rivalry, I'm going to pop out for that for sure.
Now, you know, we talked a little bit about the coaches last week and them getting to see your face and know your face. Is it the same thing for the referees? Or they start to see you around? Because I know, especially down on that baseline, you're taking up some of the real estate down there. You get to know the referees across the county?
Yeah, I never forget any of their faces. I'm not very good with a lot of the names. I'm good with, I will say, like, 95% of it. There's a good like 5% that are like always worried about me being on the baseline or being in the way. It's like, oh, you got to stand in the corner. I'm like, bro, I read the rules. I know where I can stand. But I'm always like, if you're in charge, they could throw me out the gym at any moment if they want to.
So you
got to
play the game.
You know, I'm like, all right, I got you, bro. Like, let's work with each other here. Like, you know what I mean? I'm trying to stay out your way and let me do my thing.
I'm hoping one of these days you catch a game that Chris is actually refereeing.
I hope
so. That would be good, some good fodder for the radio.
We need this to happen.
Oh, for sure. I'll make sure I pull up on him and get a selfie with him too.
that would be good. Tell me about Tavid Johnson, sophomore.
He's one of the best players in the county, and he's one of these players that is just a bucket getter. He just gets buckets no matter who's on the floor, no matter who's guarding him. His team, they lost. Carlsbad came to Francis Parker and beat them. And he and Jake Hall actually have the same trainer.
Is he at Francis Parker?
Tavid Johnson. Yeah, he's at Francis Parker. He's a sophomore. And he, like I said, he's my first time seeing him play in person was last year at the Flicks vs. Full-Time Showcase. And I had been seeing him on Instagram, seeing him a little bit on YouTube, and just everybody was talking like, yo, you ain't seen him play yet? You ain't seen him play? And I'm like, no, I haven't seen him. And he lived up to everything everybody told me about him. Like, really, really crafty. Not one of these dudes that's going to, like, blow by you or jump over you, but just really, really crafty, really good handle, creative with the ball, creative with his shot selection, and he's got a bright future because he's just a sophomore. He's averaging 27 points.
Yeah, 27.5 points per game, 50% shooting from the field. He also leads his team in rebounding at eight per game, also dropping three. He's a stat filler, it seems. What's the height on Tavid?
He's about 6'2", 6'3", maybe?
Guard, okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's preview some of these games. Tonight, who we got?
Santa Fe Christian is playing La Jolla Country Day. La Jolla Country Day is led by probably the craftiest guard in San Diego County, man. Chris Carrillo. He's kind of similar to Tavid, but he plays lower to the ground, a little bit faster, and more crafty with his passes. Tavid is crafty with his scoring. Chris is a crafty ball handle and a crafty, like, setup, man. He's kind of like how I said about the Carlsbad point guard. He can get into the paint whenever he wants to, gets wherever he wants to get on the floor, and he's more of a setup man, though. He's out there looking to probe and looking to set his teammates up, and he does that so well that you're guarding his teammates, and now you look up, and now he's got 20 points. So that's going to be a good matchup. And then Santa Fe Christian is led by Jake Hall's little brother.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So they go to different schools.
Yeah, they go to different schools. Okay. They go to different schools. And he another probably, you can make the argument that, I can't believe him, but Jax, I'm sorry. Jax, okay, my bad, little bro. I'm sorry I'm blanking on your name. But you can make the argument that Jax is the top point guard in San Diego, really. He, you know, strong frame. Like, you could tell he's in the weight room. He's one of the guys that, like, you give him ball pressure and he just puts you on his hip and just keeps going where he wants to go. He'll get to the basket, he'll shoot it from three, and he's amazing control and of the flow of the game from start to finish.
Hold that thought. Let's check traffic. So we got Santa Fe Christian, La Jolla Country Day tonight. Friday, I mean, Montgomery, I think they got one loss on the year. They'll take on Olympian. Tell me a little bit about that matchup.
I've been talking about Montgomery a lot, but I want to give them another shout out because their one loss has come to a team from out of state. Nobody in San Diego has beat them. That one loss has not come from a San Diego team.
And that team, if I'm not mistaken, won the whole whole tournament during the Christmas.
Jay Sarah, Yes, sir. So they lost to the champs. Montgomery plays Olympian on Friday. Olympian's the team that I was talking about. They got that no-nonsense coach that makes them play the right way. And it's because of that. I mean, they're a very talented team as well. But it's because of that I think this matchup is gonna be very interesting. It has honestly, with all due respect to Olympian, Montgomery could really put it on them. It could turn into that.
Yeah.
But I think the way Olympians coach is going to have them prepared, how scrappy they are, how hard they play.
They can make it ugly.
They can make it not even necessarily make it ugly, just they Montgomery overwhelms people with their defense, and their offense is so methodical that like they'll take up the whole 35-second shot clock.
They'll just wear you down.
Yeah. And I believe that because of their coaching and how tough and how gritty they are, I believe that that defense that overpowers people that Montgomery has, I don't know if it's going to overpower Olympian. I think they'll be able to withstand it. And I think because of that reason, it's going to make for a pretty interesting matchup.
Last week, you kind of teased a showcase that you have put together with Full Time Hoops.
Yes.
Over the past couple of years. Sounds like we got a gym now.
Yes, we have a gym. We have a location for the third annual Flicks vs. Full Time Showcase. It's going to be at Logan Memorial in the Southeast San Diego. It's a beautiful gym, brand new gym, just been built. Really a hidden gym in San Diego. I had only seen it on Instagram. I was put in contact with my guy Tony Jackson, the head coach over there.
Real quick, by the way, shout out to all of the San Diegans that hopped on the page and were offering up gyms. I mean, I saw it with my own eyes. I got on there. I saw a couple people was like, hey, I got a gym for you. Hit my DM.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like you got one. That's
awesome.
That was
amazing. And that's just a shout out to the basketball community we have here.
It really is.
Our community is really tight knit. We have our little beefs here and there because everybody's competitive and everybody wants to be on top. But when it's all said and done, the San Diego basketball community is very tight knit and we hold each other down. That's without a question. But Logan Memorial, like I was saying, it's beautiful gym. It's all the newer gyms. They got the big bright LEDs in there. So it's like, it's bright. It's very, very well lit.
Good lighting for
exactly
what you do.
Exactly. That's one of the things that I look into first. I look at like the stands and how I want that, and then the lighting. It's a big thing for me.
Smoking like a true photographer.
Absolutely. And then they got the upstairs area where you can watch from up there, the concessions, the locker room, everything is beautiful. So we're very excited to have the Flicks vs. Full Time Showcase.
How many kids do you bring in? I don't think I asked you this last week. How many kids do you guys typically have on each team?
We want to do no more than 15. I kind of want to leave it at just 12, but I want to give at least 30 kids the opportunity to be a part of the game.
Do you get some of the high school coaches to coach these games?
Yeah, so the first year we had the La Jolla Country Day coach and the host coach from Coronado coached. And then last year, my good friend Heather, the Heather Experience, one of the dopest photographers here in San Diego. She was like, no, how about you and full time coach? Like, no, you guys sit on the bench with your teams, and we did that, and it was cool. But I'd rather have coaches do it so I could be over there with my team and hype them up, but still move around with my camera, talk to the crowd, and still do my thing. So to answer the question, we will have coaches back this year. I'm not sure how I want to pick those. The first year my idea was whoever wins the Open Division Championship, that coach gets the coach.
I like that.
And then the host gym. That coach gets the coach.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll figure it out. But yeah, we are going to have some coaches, all of that. Also, what we didn't do last year, I want to have, what we haven't done in the first 2 years, I want to have cheerleaders there. Each game that I've been going to, I've been like, yo, these cheer teams are really like, they're like they should. They bring the excitement. And some of them, they got the cheer squad in the stands where they stomping on the floor and they clapping super loud. And it just brings a different energy. I was like, you know what? We need that at the showcase. So I've had my eye on a few. I think we're going to have two cheer squads, one for the Flicks team and one for the full-time team this year.
Okay, Michael Flicks joins us here, Gwen and Chris. Last segment of the day, just kind of previewing high school basketball here in San Diego for this week's games. Mike, you get out to see a ton of games. I'm sure you, at this point, have a list, or at least have some in your mind, some of the tougher gyms for opponents to come in and try to win a ball game.
Yes, St. Augustine, the Pit. Their rowdy crowd is literally called the Pit. Some games they always coordinate it, but a lot of the times they wear all black, and they sit right behind the court that St. Augustine sits on to shoot. I'm sorry, the basket that St. Augustine shoots on in the first half, the Pit sits behind that basket. So in the second half, the away team is shooting on that gym, and they're back there going crazy. They put up curtains. They open the curtain, and dude will be up there with his shirt off like he's taking a shower. And they'll have, like, the football team hold up a surfboard. They'll have a dude on the surfboard, like, in the stands, like, in the crowd. And they go hard. So St. Augustine's one of them. Gotta give it to Cathedral. They're always loud and proud and really crazy. Patrick Henry, believe it or not. Whenever I go there, they're always really, really rowdy. Let's see who else.
La Costa Canyon, naturally.
Stop! Yo, Yes.
Oh, yes. That's fine. Yes. That's cool.
They are Lacoste King, and it's I hadn't.
They've
been,
always been. They've always had a pretty good, good fan
it's
base. Because
we're good people,
oh, right? I go. Hadn't. I hadn't been there for a while. They had a guy. I had a player named Christian Brown who was really good. I filmed him. I want to say 2 years ago, and up until before filming him, I hadn't been there for a few years. And I played against Lacoste King, and I remember the Chase Budinger days. Like I remember all that, and I just hadn't been there for a while. And when I got in there, I was like. That's Lacoste Canyon, true to form.
They were the first, I feel like, of the gyms that kind of had their gym below ground, mm-hmm. it felt like.
And yeah, then, we did.
And
yeah.
then it felt like everybody else started, when they built a new gym, mm-hmm. they started kind of putting that, you know, Cathedral has one now. You mentioned Saints. They got mm-hmm. theirs. Mm-hmm. I thought La Costa was like one of the first ones to kind of have that mm-hmm. gym where you can have people like looking down in there.
There's plenty of space in that gym, too. It's yeah. not small at all, because I know some of these high school gyms are kind of like shoved in there because there's no space, but this gym is huge.
We got a few minutes left.
I got to throw Torrey Pines in there, too. Yeah, like some gyms are loud, and it's just loud, but there's other gyms that are tough to play in. The ones I've been naming, they're tough to play in.
Torrey's tough to play mm-hmm. in. That, mm-hmm. that it always reminded me of a dungeon. It just seemed dark in there.
That's good.
The ball doesn't, like, bounce up the way you think it should, at least back when I was playing. It was 20 years ago at this point. All right, you've highlighted quite a few players. Now, mm-hmm. I'm going to put you on the spot here. I know you're probably going to irritate some people.
Okay, let's do it.
I just got a text from my buddy who's a teacher, or one of the coaches at Patrick Henry. He said, nothing like the OG hecklers in the referee jersey. That takes it back to Valhalla, those days. They used to have guys on the sideline, full referee jerseys. They used to get after it a little bit. All right, give me your top five players in this county.
Top five players in the county.
1 through 5. This is everybody likes a top five list.
I'm going to go Jake Hall at number 1. J.J. Sanchez at number 2.
Give me the school name.
Jake Hall from Carlsbad at number 1. J.J. Sanchez from Montgomery at number 2. Oh, man.
It gets tricky.
It does. I'm trying to think of everyone. Yeah, I'm going to make some people mad with this. Those are for sure the number 1 and number 2.
Is there really a close third? Those two are the guys right there in the county?
Yeah. Yes, for sure. Because of what he's been doing this year, I got to put Pablo from Mission Bay in there.
He's hooping.
He's going crazy.
He's hooping right now.
I got to put him at number 3. Let me go with PJ from Cathedral.
My man.
I put him at number 4. And this is subject to change. This is based on up till this point, I might see things that may change this. That was 4 people,
that's
right?
That's 4 right there.
And then number 5, Jaden Bales.
Okay.
Jaden Bales from St. Augustine. Jaden Bales, I could probably put him at number 3 or 4, actually. But, you know. You know what? Actually, 1 and 2, that's 1 and 2. The other 3 is in no particular order. But that's my top 5. That's my top 5 right there.
Fair enough. Michael, appreciate you as always.
Oh,
man.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me, man.
Spending some time.
This is the highlight of my Wednesday, man. I love being here.
We enjoy you, man. I mean, I think it's, we've said it before, I think it's important that we continue to try to highlight this part of San Diego that I don't think gets enough coverage. Not enough people talking about the Hoopers out here. So we appreciate you coming on.
Me being here is helping to change that. Since the first week on here, no matter what gym I've gone to, someone's come and shake my hand. Like, oh, I heard you on the radio. Oh, I saw you on the YouTube show. So because of you guys, we're helping make this thing a little bigger. So I thank you so much for that.
That's what it's all about. Michael Flicks, we'll have him again next week. How much time we got until playoffs kickoff? That's around March?
Yeah, right around March. We got about like 8 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, about 8 weeks or so.
You're going to get to hear him moving forward until we get to that point. Mike, as always, appreciate you.
My pleasure.
Scraby, we still got a couple minutes. Looks like this Knicks game is tightened up, 85-85 right now as they end the third quarter. For those who may have missed it, the Ravens reclaim Deontay Johnson, who they released, I feel like, 3 weeks ago. He's on his fourth team in like 3 weeks.
He was busy pouting in the Texans locker room after they won a playoff game.
They got him up out of there real quick.
He was like, oh, you know what? I didn't get more than 3 catches. I hate this place.
Other news. Padres are, you know, They made some signs. We talked about it. JB Wendelken.
Not the signing we want.
Not the signing we want. I think we're all waiting on that Roky Sasaki news.
I have a Buster Posey tweet for the Scraby Show. Or not Buster Posey, sorry. Buster Olney.
I was about to say, what is Buster tweeting
No, Buster's
about?
Got nothing about Roky. He's already been told no. But I have a tweet from Buster Olney that was sent a little bit earlier in the day, but he kind of backtracks a little bit, because remember when he was always like, it's Dodgers and it's Dodgers and it's Dodgers and it's Dodgers. Well, now he's kind of opening the door for something else.
Listen, I don't think anybody who was saying the Dodgers was just saying that because that's the thing to say. There's nobody who knows anything right now. If they turned out to be right, of course, it's gonna be like, I told you.
Yeah.
But they didn't know even if they turn out to be right.
True.
You hear the music. That means it's time to roll out Scraby Chronicles.
Roll out!
Scraby.
I was listening to Ludacris over the weekend.
Scraby Chronicles up next. We'll do it again tomorrow. You guys have a good night.